1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 29 to 33. Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. And if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. For you can all prophesy in turn, so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The spirits of prophets are subject to the control of prophets, for God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. And then we'll skip a few verses and go down to 39. Therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way.
Thank you, Sue. Since the beginning of the year, we've been on a journey together, exploring prophecy and the prophetic. For those who haven't been with us for that time, it was an opportunity to see what God is saying to us about how we can hear God's voice, how we can recognize God's voice, how we can share what God is saying with others. And it was in response to a prompting of the Spirit in us as leaders to seek to grow and develop more of a prophetic culture within the church. In a book I read recently, I came across these words. And it is, incidentally, a book worth reading. It's a book called The Church of Tomorrow, written by a gentleman called John McGinley. And one of the things John says is this: there are no well-worn paths into the future. And when you think about it, that's fairly self-evident. We don't know what is ahead of us. It's one of the, exciting, challenging, daunting things about being human. We don't know what is around the corner. We know where we have come from. We may have some sense of where we are. We might not. But we do not know what is ahead of us. We do know that Jesus will continue to build his church. We do know that Jesus will return for his church. But we don't know what he will call us into as we continue to be transformed into a temple of the Spirit, and we don't know what he will call us to do as part of that. And as we recognize this, this calls us to a renewed focus on prayer, a renewed focus on engaging with God's word, a renewed focus on being open to the prompting of the Spirit, a new focus on the prophetic voice being heard among us. And it's been really good to explore some of what is involved in the prophetic, as we have seen how this is a gift that the Holy Spirit gives to the church, as we've seen different ways in which this gift has been used. And I want to recognize the great way in which members of our preaching team have engaged with this theme as we've explored this in different ways and from different perspectives. I really appreciate and value what the team bring and the privilege of working and serving with them. And during this series that we've been on over the last couple of months, we've seen how different people in the Bible exercised this gift and how it was supremely demonstrated in Jesus. We've thought about how this gift is used to encourage, strengthen, and comfort. And this is something to really get excited about. And it's been good to see the ways in which God is developing this gift among us. As people have started to explore this or explore this again in life groups, as people have shared things in private conversation, as more people have started sharing what they believe God is saying during these times that we meet together. I am excited with what has happened. I am excited for what is ahead. And this morning, we're finishing this part of our series. And then over the next 3 weeks, in the run-up to Easter, we're looking at three prophecies regarding that key event. One, a prophecy about Jesus entering into Jerusalem. Another, a word of prophecy spoken during the trial of Jesus. And finally, one speaking about the resurrection of Jesus. And as we engage with those, let's rejoice again in what Jesus was prepared and able to do for us as he offered himself to deal with the problem of sin and to draw us into God's family. This morning, we're thinking about how do we respond to prophecy? So the scenario that we're thinking about is that someone has spoken a word that they believe God has given them. Maybe they believe it's for an individual or for a particular group or ministry within the church. Maybe it's something that they believe is for the whole church. What do we do with that? Do we simply accept it as unquestioned truth? Or is there a process of seeking to determine whether what has been shared is really from God? And the implication behind the question is that sometimes messages that may appear prophetic may not actually be from God. And it's important to work out whether that is the case. So, it is clear from what the Bible says that this is a real issue. This is not a question that we are dreaming up. This is a question that the Bible says is important and needs to be addressed. It was raised way back in Deuteronomy chapter 18. And a clear answer was given. The question was asked, how can we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord? And the answer was given, if what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is the message the Lord has not spoken. So the simple test here is whether what the prophet says actually happens. When Ian was preaching on a passage in Isaiah, you may remember there was a prophetic sign given that a virgin would have a son. If that happens, the people would have accepted that the overall message given was from God. If it had not happened, they would have been right to reject it because what was said in it did not come to pass. And so there can be a delay in determining whether what has been spoken is of God as we wait to see if what is said comes true. In John's first letter, the question comes up again with a recognition that there were false prophets around in the world, even then, so soon after the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And John writes these words. He says, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. He recognizes the problem. False prophets have gone out. And then he gives us this test. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And so for John, a key test is what these prophets say about the person of Jesus. Whether they acknowledge that Jesus Christ is God's Son taking on human form and living among us. If the person speaking doesn't recognize and believe this, then we shouldn't take any notice of what they say as they claim to make prophetic statements. Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica, encourages them to hold on to the teaching they have received. Stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you. And those teachings, the words that were spoken, the letters that were written, became so much of what we now have as the New Testament, as God's word revealed to us through his people. So we can add a test as to whether what is being said is consistent with the overall teaching of the Bible, God's word given to his church for all time. And then we can also consider whether the word spoken satisfies some of the criteria that Andy was reflecting on last week in such a helpful and powerful way. If you remember, he was particularly focusing on these words written by Paul, the one who prophesies, speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. And it raises the question about whether what is said is helpful in strengthening or edifying, encouraging or exhorting, and comforting God's people. So these are all parts of testing whether something is from God, and an important responsibility for each of us as we seek to listen and respond to what God is saying today. But there's something further that we need to take into account as well. Even if something passes all of these tests, that something they say comes to pass, that the person speaking recognizes the reality of who Jesus is, that what is said is consistent with Scripture, that what is said is recognized as being something that could strengthen, encourage, and comfort. Even if all that is true, it doesn't necessarily mean that what is shared is for a particular individual, for a group, or for the wider church. So some additional discernment is required. And this is something that Paul speaks into on a number of occasions. For example, again, when he writes to the church at Thessalonica, "Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good." He encouraged us to receive the prophetic word with respect, but also to test it and to hold on to what is good, those prophecies which they believe to be genuine. These we need to recognize, these we need to take note of and respond to. So we're talking about what might be described today as a quality control process. Many years ago, in my second job in IT, I was responsible for some of the computer systems in a factory producing semiconductors. This was up in Oldham, and it was a strange place. But there were machines that produced thousands of these semiconductors each day, probably millions. But the chips couldn't just be accepted, they had to be tested. Did they do what they were designed to do? And in that situation, they come up with the process of sampling, where some of the batch of chips were selected at random and tested. And if that sample was found to be okay, then the whole batch was assumed to be up to standard and passed. It would have been too expensive to test all of them, and over time, this sampling mechanism had been found to produce a good enough results. But here, Paul is encouraging us to test each prophetic word to see if it is good. We can't simply assume that if what someone shared yesterday was from God, that the same person will always hear God correctly. And so we come back to a responsibility on all of us to weigh up carefully what is being said. And Paul recognizes the importance of this as he refers to this ability to weigh what has been spoken as a spiritual gift in itself. Last week, Andy referred to 1 Corinthians 12, where Paul speaks about the Spirit giving gifts to the church, and one of these is described as being able to distinguish between spirits. It's a gift of God through his Spirit to the church. And this is generally understood to refer to discerning whether what is being spoken prophetically is actually in line with the Spirit of God. But just as we saw that each believer is encouraged to seek the gift of prophecy, so Paul tells us, and Sue read earlier, that each believer is to be involved in this weighing up process. Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. And this has some important things to say to us. It is important that we pay attention to what is being said when someone, for example, comes up here on this platform saying they have a message from God for us. We need to take this seriously. We need to also get excited about it. Can you have excited seriousness? As we recognize the amazing privilege it is of being in a place where God speaks to us. A place where we need to be prepared to change in response to what we hear God saying. But it's also important to not just hear it and accept it as true without weighing it up. Does what is being shared deny anything we believe about God, about Jesus, about the Spirit? Is what is being shared in line with what we find in the Bible? Is what is being spoken going to strengthen, to encourage, or to comfort? And is it for us as a body of God's people? Is this something we need to receive, to take for our own, to live with, to act upon? We've seen so many examples over the past few weeks of where all of those tests, I think, are satisfied. And some amazing and powerful and helpful things have been shared by people as God has spoken to them for us. But it's important that we continue to have that sense of weighing up what is being said as we seek to engage authentically and well with the prophetic word spoken among us. But also, while there's a responsibility for each of us, we believe there's a particular responsibility on us as leaders to act as a form of facilitator. I just want to share what we mean by that. We've wrestled with this as we don't want to stifle or suppress any work of the Spirit. We want to encourage those who are willing to share publicly what God is saying to them. But we do want to try and ensure that things that are shared, particularly from the front during our gatherings, are going to be helpful and a blessing to the wider family. And also we know that when we are leading services like this, we are seeking to be open to the prompting of the Spirit as he guides in different directions. And we're cautious about things being said that would take away from that or in any way quench what the Spirit is seeking to do among us. So we are going to ask that anyone who believes they have something to share comes and speaks to one of us during the service and gives a brief overview of what they want to share. And then we can take a view as to whether it's right to share that at the moment or whether it would be better to take a bit longer time in reflection and prayer outside of the service to explore together what God is saying. And in adopting this approach, we're seeking to be obedient to Paul's call to the Corinthian church that Sue read a moment ago, to do everything in a fitting and orderly way. We do know that this might sometimes be difficult to manage, particularly when Isabel steps down at Easter. We might find it challenging to ensure that one of the leaders is always available. We might invite one or two others to be part of that discernment process. But we want to try and ensure that there's always someone available you can speak to if you want to share something. And if you can think of better ways in which this can be done, in a way that encourages people to share what they believe God is saying, but also enables us to facilitate that process in a way that is honouring to God and that will be a blessing to each of us, then please do let us know. But I don't want to finish this part of the series talking about a process, however important that process is. I want to recognise that this is such an exciting thing to be thinking about and engaging in and engaging with. It's something that reminds us that our God is a God who speaks. A God who speaks and has spoken supremely in Jesus. But a God who still speaks today through his Spirit to his people and from his people to us. as we open ourselves to the prompting of the Spirit, as we spend time with God listening to what he wants to say to us, as we respond in faith by sharing what God has given us, then we can be really effective channels of his blessing and his love. As we do this, we can provide insight and wisdom into the direction that the church should be going. We can be agents of his strengthening, encouraging, and comforting presence. These are things to seek, to earnestly desire. Paul encouraged us, as Andy was sharing last week, to earnestly desire this gift of prophecy. As we've seen over the last few weeks, this can be worked out in many different ways. And it's something that is available to everyone who is seeking to follow and live for Jesus. And if that is you this morning, then this is something for you, something to hold on to, something to seek, something to grasp, something to develop, something to engage with, something that you can use to be a blessing, to be a comfort, to be an encouragement to others. In the words of Paul, let's eagerly desire this amazing gift of prophecy. And let's use it for the building up and blessing of the church so that we can be more effective in the mission to which Jesus has called us. Let's be quiet for a moment. I'll lead us in prayer, and then Rachel is going to lead us in one final song.